Hello, everyone, and welcome to Devotional Life with Paul
and Jeannie.
Come on in and sit down at the dining room table with us, because we're going to spend some time talking about the Lord and spending time with Him and in His Word, and this is all good stuff. We're learning daily devotions that we connect every single day. Well, you know, the theme for our church this year is Every Day with Jesus. And what better way to do that than to have a devotion to the Lord every day? Hi, Jeannie.
Hi, Paul.
How are you today?
I'm good.
We're in a very exciting portion of Scripture. Mm. Here's Jesus, and He's speaking with Jesus even calls Him the teacher in Israel. So if anybody knows their Bible, if anybody's trying to keep the law, if anybody's keeping every requirement in order to be quote unquote righteous or holy. Good. How's that?
To be good.
To be good on their own, it would be Nicodemus. Mm-hmm. And I just love the whole scene. Nicodemus coming to Him and telling Jesus, well, we know You're a teacher and we've seen Your miracles and You must be from God. And it's like the Lord throws him a curveball, something out of left field that he wasn't expecting. And He tells Nicodemus, you must be born again or you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Wow. By the way, just sending out a question to each one of us. Have you been born again? Have you been born of the Spirit? Jesus said this must happen. Heaven is waiting for you and for me, but we must be born again. And of course, this sends Nicodemus, I'm sure mentally, emotionally, spiritually, into a tizzy. It seems to feel probably to him as though it's contradicting everything he's learned since he's a boy, which is trying to gain heaven by being good. Can you do that?
And to obey the law. They were taught to obey the law, and the law is good. I mean, It was given to them through Moses, how to live life. And I think even nowadays that we don't discard the law. It's good. I mean, what God tells us to do is for our benefit and for our relationship with Him and others. But it isn't anything that brings us into a state of perfection where now we can stand before a holy God. It helps us to have a relationship with Him and others in the best, healthiest way we can possibly do. So I think from that standpoint, we always reverence God's Word and God's law and the Ten Commandments. And so he was used to doing that, but they had the expectation that somehow that made them a little better
than anybody
than
else.
Anybody else. Yeah. In fact, the Gentiles who didn't know about the law were called dogs, and they looked down at all the other nationalities. They were it, you know.
Right.
So the pride would come in, and they would think, "How can I, you know, be better than somebody else, even within their own little groups?" Which Nicodemus, being a Pharisee and part of the Sanhedrin, you know, I'm sure they did that all the time. And so this man, though, obviously had a heart to want to know God in a deeper, fuller way, and that it wasn't cutting it. So I feel like I already know Nicodemus. Just spending these last couple days talking about him, I feel like he's a real person.
Yeah.
And that he has a heart, and that whenever anybody has a genuine heart with questions, Jesus is always right in there challenging them and giving them more information, you know, than what's just on the surface. So,
and we've been talking about this for a couple of weeks between each other.
Yeah.
And you know how I know that you know Nicodemus? Because the other day you referred to him as Nick.
I do call him Nick, like a like a nickname, Nick. Hey, nickname Nick.
That's it.
Funny.
So the whole thing switches with Jesus coming and being the righteous one. He fulfilled every part of the law for us.
Right.
He didn't come to do away with the law. He came to fulfill it for us.
Because we can't do it on our own.
We can't do it.
Yeah. There's no sin in him.
Yeah. So being born again is putting your faith in Jesus Christ and discounting to zero anything else you thought that made you right with God. It's all based on faith in Jesus Christ.
And his work that he did on our behalf.
Right.
Right.
And his taking on your penalty and mine for our sins. That's where righteousness comes from. Not from the law, but from Jesus Christ.
And there's no place for pride in any of that.
No.
No.
We're to be totally humble.
Right.
And transparent.
You know, it's like once you get on the other side of that and realizing that you don't deserve it, you don't earn it, and it's a gift, and you embrace it, and the relief that comes, and the joy that comes that you're acceptable to God because of what he did for you, then you want to please him.
Yes.
So then you say, well, Lord, I owe you so much because you loved me, and now what can I do for you? And so then you look at doing those good works that right. Nicodemus was doing,
yes.
but you do it from a different motivation, not to be prideful, not to boast, not to compare yourself, but you do it because you know that delights God's heart.
Yeah.
Like a child with wanting to please their parent who loves them, and they want to work hard, bring home those good grades mm-hmm. because it pleases the parent, because the parent knows if my child is successful in doing those right things, it will bless them.
Yes.
So it kind of goes both ways that way.
So it turns into your own personal love relationship with God.
Right.
And Jesus coming along and saying, if you love me, keep my commandments.
Right.
And the greatest commandment he gives is that of love. Love right. first for God and love for others around us. It's a beautiful way to live. It's the way we're intended to live.
So as Jesus is having this conversation with Nicodemus, like last time, he mentions to him the Holy Spirit being like the wind
yes.
and how when someone is born again, Holy Spirit dwells inside of them. We mentioned that last time, and then directs our lives. And so then he goes on to talk about love, like you just said. He tells Nicodemus, he's helping him to have a correct perspective of the Messiah, because their Messiah that they were looking for was going to be a physical leader, somebody
yeah,
that was going to overturn the Roman government
right.
and get them out of the oppression.
Yeah.
And Jesus didn't come to do that. He came to set people free from their sin.
The first time. Second time when he comes.
Yes. He will make things
rule
right.
Rule and reign. Yes.
So as he's talking to Nicodemus, he goes on to the probably one of the most, besides Psalm 23, this is probably in the New Testament, one of the most quoted verses.
Yes.
But I don't know if, I don't think I realized or really put it in context with his conversation with Nicodemus and how it led up to this. So in John 3:16, he says, and this is, I'm doing the English Standard Version. He says, for God so loved the world. So there's that word love.
Love.
And that's God's motivation.
Right.
Motivated by love.
This action of God to rescue you and me
right.
comes out of a place of love.
So he loves us so much that it says he loves the world. So that means no one's left out. It's an equal opportunity. Every single person that's ever been born, he loves, and he wants to rescue them if they'll respond back to him.
Yeah.
And take his way. So, for God so loved the world, John 3:16, that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Mm-hmm. So he's explaining this to Nicodemus.
And that's the gospel that you just said right there.
Right.
Yeah.
And if you don't have this memorized already, put it to memory, John 3:16 and 17. Because it says, for God, this is Jesus still speaking, for God did not send his son, referring to himself, into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Verse 18, whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God.
Wow.
That's just so huge.
It is. And it's to be enjoyed and cherished and every day to recognize and to delight in the fact that your sins are forgiven, past, present, and future, by faith in Jesus Christ. Ah, let's pray. Father, I thank you so much that we could spend these minutes with you, this 10-minute slice of heaven. We are grateful, Father, for your gift of eternal life and your love for us, from which all that comes. Bless my brothers and sisters. Encourage their hearts. Lift us up, Father, as we meditate on your word. We pray this in Jesus' wonderful name. Everybody says,
amen.
God bless you.